Chumbadora!
Here comes a lightning bolt!
Charger fans are witnesses to history!
This is the Lightning Round Podcast with your hosts, Garrett Sisti and Jamie Hoyle.
Go Chargers, go!
Welcome, everybody, to Lightning Round Podcast. I am at Garrett Sisti. Jamie is at Lightning_Round. We appreciate everybody listening, everybody that tuned into our live Q&A over on YouTube. Thank you so much. And we're here to talk about our top five free agent defensive linemen that Jamie and I like. We're going to go 5-1. Then we're going to talk about three top free agents outside of defensive line that the Chargers could make a move and upgrade right away. But before we do, let's get into our donations. We got some since the last time we recorded. The first one here is from Damian Brennan. He says, keep doing what you're doing, guys. Listening from Ireland since day one of your pod. Telesco has lucked out with Staley and Justin. Wow. Thanks for being the day one OG, Damian. Thanks for listening. Appreciate you.
So he was the one, huh?
He's the one. Yep. He's the one listener who was listening. Yep. And I thought it was our parents or friends, but nope, it was Damian.
Our parents told us they were listening, but obviously they
lied. Wait a minute. Did we just find out our parents weren't listening?
They weren't listening, or our wives for that matter, apparently.
Oh, come on.
The next one is from Richard Mata, who sent the donation after the Baltimore game, and he says, rough game, but let's drink it away, boys. Thank you, Richard.
And we sure did. So thank you, Richard. Thank you. And Jack also says, he donated and said, whether the Chargers win or lose, it's great to have you guys back. So we appreciate it. We're still doing podcasts, win, lose, or draw, or bye week, or whatever. So thank you, Jack. We appreciate you listening, and we're glad to be back.
And one more is from Jason Landman, who says, appreciate the pod and all the work you guys do to provide great content. Just a huge fan. Would love to hear the story of why you made your triumphant comeback sometime. Cheers, fellas. Thank you, Jason. We appreciate it. And maybe we'll tell that story sometime.
Yeah, maybe we will. Yeah, thanks for donating, everybody. Appreciate you guys. We do have a link up on Twitter. It's pinned there if you want to donate, PayPal or Venmo or whatever. It's there. And I know we tease it every week, but we got more things coming. So thank you, everybody, for donating. And thank you for listening. So now what we're going to be doing is we're going to be talking about five realistic trades the Chargers can make. And I know that there's a lot of guys out there and a lot of names that are floating out there, but we're going to go with the realistic options the Chargers could trade for at the trade deadline and absolutely upgrade this defensive line. We're going to talk about interior defensive line because that's the biggest need right now. The Chargers cannot stop the run, and they need some help on the interior. Justin Jones isn't enough. So we're going to go 5-1. So let's go ahead and start with five. Jamie, who do you have?
So my number five is Matt Ioannidis from Washington.
Oh, okay.
He's a veteran player. He's playing pretty well in limited snaps for Washington right now. He's a guy who doesn't cost too much this year, and they can actually save $6.7 million if they cut him prior to the 2022 season. I think he has to be cut before the first day of the new league year in 2022. But he's a guy who's shown the ability to be productive versus the run. He's also shown the ability to get to the quarterback, and he's not somebody who would come in probably and be an instant starter, but he would lengthen the rotation quite a bit, by rotating more with Jones, pushing Tillery and Covington back to more rotational pieces and help deepen that rotation and lessen the need to carry guys like Gaziano and Fehoko and Merrill. By adding, you know, an experienced, more proven player who can step in and contribute, you know, splitting snaps alongside Linval Joseph.
All right. Not a guy I had. Interesting little rotational piece there. For me, number five is a guy who would be reunited with Brandon Staley, and that's Michael Brockers from the Lions. He was a former Ram when Staley coached there, and Detroit is winless, so they're definitely in seller mode. He had one of his most productive years as a player under Brandon Staley. The Chargers could probably trade a late draft pick for him. He's owed $11 million this season, $8 next year, but an easy upgrade on the middle of the defense, an easy plug and play into a system he succeeded in. This makes a ton of sense. And I think, you know, not like the Lions are looking to make a move this year or looking to, make a move towards the playoffs at least, cause they haven't won a game, but, they're in seller mode. And I think Brockers could be had, and it'd be a nice little reunion for Brandon Staley.
Yeah. Brockers was a guy who made, I guess he was kind of a honorable mention for me. he makes sense in terms of the scheme fit. He's been productive in the scheme, all that. I think he's a little undersized and he's more of a defensive end right now than he is a defensive tackle, although he did play both positions for Staley last year. And looking at the numbers, it doesn't seem like he's playing all that well for Detroit right now. So he didn't end up making my top five, but he's a guy who would make some sense. Probably could get him pretty cheap. He just signed a brand new deal, so he's a little bit more expensive than most of the guys on my list, but definitely a solid fit.
All right. Who you got for number four?
My number four is a guy who a lot of people have been throwing around, and the reason he's number four on my list is because I'm still not convinced he's going to be available, but things could certainly change between now and the deadline. So my number four is Akeem Hicks from the Chicago Bears.
Oh, me too.
He probably would have been in my top three, maybe my top two, if I thought he was going to be available, but I knocked him down just because I don't think he will be by the time the deadline comes around. But when you're talking about somebody who can get to the quarterback, somebody who is effective against the run, he's still got plenty of tread left on those tires, in my opinion. He can play pretty much every technique up and down the line. I think he'd be a really good fit. And obviously he's played in that front. He's experienced. He would be a really nice guy to pair with Linval Joseph in the middle of the defense. He's a guy who would instantly become a starter on the line. He would force Jones and Tillery to become more rotational pieces. They'd be able to use Covington the way I think they probably intended to use him when they signed him, which would be as more of just a part-time player, being the third or fourth man in the rotation, as opposed to having to play the bulk of the snaps because somebody's hurt or isn't playing well. And he's a guy who, because his contract is up at the end of the year, if the Bears traded him, you could probably get him for pretty cheap. He's 32, I think.
Yep,
not part of their long-term plans for Chicago. So I think he's a guy that you could probably get maybe for a conditional 2023 pick or a late round 2022 pick. Maybe you throw in some performance and playing time type incentives for him to help bump the value of that pickup, depending on how well he plays and the impact he makes on the defense. But yeah, he's a solid guy. He'd be a nice guy to add. He just has to be available. And right now I think the Bears are still probably thinking they're in it, even though they probably realistically aren't. And maybe another loss helps them flip that. But right now I'm not sure he's available.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a big chunk of money. So he's now my number four too, Akeem Hicks. And for the same reason, I don't know if he's as realistic as everybody thinks he is, but I think it's possible. And, I've got other options that I like a little bit better, but yeah, being 32, and an upcoming free agent is a little tough. He's going to be a free agent in 2022. I know Chargers Twitter has latched on to Hicks and he would be an upgrade. There's no doubt. I mean, you talked about up and down that line for sure, but that is also a lot of money for a 1 year rental. But either way, he makes my list. He's a good one. If the Chargers got him, I'd have no complaints. I'm not sure they will, but I mean, there's no doubt that he would absolutely help this defensive line right away. So he made my list just because of how good he is. I just don't know how possible it is. So I've got Akeem Hicks at number four as well. Since you got the same, I'll go ahead and move on to three. And number three is a name that, is a name we've talked about on previous podcasts when he was a free agent, a guy that could be had, and it's Michael Pierce from the Vikings. The Vikings are currently 3-3. They've got a surplus of guys in the middle. They've got Michael Pierce, Dalvin Tomlinson, Sheldon Richardson, Armon Watts, who they drafted, and the Chargers could use a guy like Dalvin Tomlinson or Michael Pierce, but Tomlinson is their newly signed free agent, and he's younger, so he's going to be harder to get, but Michael Pierce would be an excellent option. I mean, he would add some pass rushing chops to the middle. He's owed $3 million this season, so not a lot of money to take him on. Next season, he's owed a ton of money. He's owed $10 million, so that could be a sticking point for the Chargers, but he's got an out in 2022. So basically, the Vikings could get something for nothing by trading Pierce, who turns 30 next season. So if the Chargers traded for him, it could be a one-year rental with an out next season, but you could obviously renegotiate that. And this is a guy that is just one of the best run stuffers in the NFL. He's been that way for a long, long time. Even this late in his career, the Chargers haven't had a run stuffer like this guy in a real long time. So Michael Pierce, I mean, a guy that I think could be have the Vikings kind of sit in the middle there, but they've got a bunch of guys in the middle. And if the guy in the Chargers sweeten the trade a little bit, I think he could be had. So I got Michael Pierce as number three for me.
That's a good one. I didn't go with Pierce just because I think the Vikings are currently in the seventh seed right now for the playoffs. So they currently have the second, the last wild card spot sewn up, not sewn up, but they're in that spot now. So it seems like they'd probably be less likely to make that move, but that's a good one. I like that one. My number three is another player who has played in Brandon Staley's system before, somebody who is known for being a really good run stuffer and is still playing at a very high level, even at an advanced age. And that is John Jenkins of the Miami Dolphins. Jenkins, like Akeem Hicks, I think he's 32 or 33, definitely not in Miami's long-term plans. I think when I checked, he's got like a 72 or 73 PFF score in the middle of that Miami defense right now. So he's been playing really, really well. He is a guy who you put him alongside Linval Joseph. They wouldn't have a whole lot of pass rush, but they would be able to stop the run. You'd have another, 330 pound defensive lineman in the middle of that line. You could use Jones and Tillery more as, interior pass rushers in obvious passing situations. He is being John Jenkins. He's owed about $700,000 for the rest of this year. He's a free agent in 2022. Probably would not cost a whole lot to get him. My guess is you could probably get him for a conditional late round pick in either 2023 or 2022. I threw out a 2022 sixth rounder. Maybe you sweeten the pot with some playing time incentives and production incentives. But Jenkins is a guy who has thrived. He thrived in the Bears defense when he played there under Staley in 2017. He's still thriving at an advanced age. He's 32, advanced for a football player, that is. And I think you could slide him in, and he'd instantly make the rotation better and deeper, and he and Joseph could help stuff the run on first and second down. It would make a huge difference, and they wouldn't have to, stack the box so much to try to stop the run, which I think is where they're probably going to have to head if they want to stop the run with the current group.
All right. So I'll let you go with number two. Who you got as your second of your top five?
All right. My number two is somebody that we've talked about when he was a free agent. We talked about him during the draft process, I believe, as well. He used to play for the Tennessee Titans. Now he is with the Carolina Panthers. It is DaQuan Jones, who played some defensive end, but he's been playing nose tackle for the Panthers this year, playing very well. He'd be an instant upgrade over all Jones, Tillery, and Covington. He's a guy who's shown the ability to get to the quarterback. He's effective against the run. He's only owed about $2 million for the rest of 2021, and he's a free agent in 2022. Still relatively young. I think he's like 27 or 28. So if he plays well, he might be a guy that you want to keep moving forward and sign to a long-term deal or maybe a two-year deal or something in 2022 to buy yourself some time as you're building out the roster for Staley's scheme. But Jones is a guy who basically checks all the boxes. He adds some beef. He's a good athlete. He can get to the quarterback. He's effective against the run. He's still relatively young, so you can still, somewhat build around him in the middle of that defense. Would take a lot of pressure off of Jones and Tillery and Covington. I think DaQuan Jones would be a really good fit for this team. Probably wouldn't cost a whole lot. Another guy you could probably get for like a fourth or fifth rounder in 2022, and the financial cost is minimal, and he'd be, you wouldn't have to be playing guys like Fehilko and Merrill. You could start to reduce Covington snaps a little bit. I think it makes everybody better.
Yeah, good one. Yeah, we've talked about him before, and we've talked about him. Yeah, I think we talked about him during the draft podcast too. So my next two are actually kind of bigger swings here. Kind of guys that I thought were, within pretty reasonable, but here might take some finagling, but guys that I think are possible. Number two for me is the Seahawks defensive tackle Puna Ford. And now he's progressing to me into one of the better run stoppers in the league. He's kind of been like kind of flying under the radar a little bit. At 5'11", 310, he's just watching him on Monday. He's just a powerful mass in the middle of the defense. They are in seller mode. I mean, after their loss on Monday night, the Seahawks are just going downhill with Geno Smith. He is a free agent coming up, and they are strapped for cash, and they got to sign some guys. So Puna Ford might be one of those guys they're not going to be able to re-sign. And if they plan on letting him walk in the offseason, you could sign him to his fifth-year option, then Ford could be had later on. You probably have to give a day-three pickup, maybe a fourth or fifth round. depending on whether they'll take him or not, but you might have to sweeten it and give him a third. And to me, I'm willing to trade for a guy like Puna Ford. If they did sign him, they could sign him to a long-term deal or just pick up his fifth year option, which is just under $8 million next season. Obviously a contract extension's in the card in the offseason, but they aren't just bound to just a one-year rental here. This is a big swing for one of the better up-and-coming run stoppers, a guy that the Seahawks may have to let walk anyway and could get a draft pick in the process. I know third is a little rich, but those third-round picks to Telesco are a waste anyway, so why not just trade him away so he doesn't have to reach for any guys in the third round? So Puna Ford is number two for me, a guy that I think could be had if the Seahawks want to let him walk, and a really, really, really good run stopper and a guy that could instantly upgrade this defensive line.
That's a good one.
All right, here we go. Number one. All right, another big swing here, but a guy that I think probably could be had, and I'll explain why in just a second. And number one for me is Daron Payne, the Washington football team. Now the Washington football team has two studs in the middle of the defense. They've got Jonathan Allen, Daron Payne. Allen is the marquee piece they re-signed at 5 years, $72 million. Daron Payne owed $8 million next season. And this feels to me a lot like the 49ers situation when they had a surplus of interior guys and they had to trade DeForest Buckner just so they didn't have to pay him. Teams can't really give two major contracts to two interior pieces. So I don't see Washington doing that. They are 2-5 at the moment. They got to rebuild, and that front office is not the brightest either. So that kind of helps here too. So for the Washington football team, trading Daron Payne, you'd get ahead of having to re-sign him, and you take $8 million off the books to spend a free agency in other areas when they've already got a stud in the middle in Jonathan Allen. And not only is Payne an excellent run stuffer, he has pass rushing upside and he's active at the line. If Payne doesn't get home, he's always getting his hands in passing lanes. And adding Daron Payne helps a run defense and would open things up on the outside too, which is awesome for those edge rushers for the Chargers too, and namely Joey Bosa. Payne would probably take a third, maybe a fourth, probably not though. And this is an upgrade the Chargers need. I guess it might take a second if you really, really, really got to reach for him. But I mean, this is probably my favorite realistic option, quote unquote realistic option. I love Daron Payne. I think he could be had, and he's my number one.
That's a good one. I didn't go with him just because I guess I kind of looked at it the same way when we were talking about Christian Wilkins during the Q&A pod earlier this week, which is he's what, 24, 25 years old. They're going to be looking to rebuild. So they're not in a pinch where they have to trade him yet. I guess it's possible. They'd probably be looking to rip somebody off if they did trade him, maybe a third or a second. Uh-huh. It's a good one. It'd be exciting. Be a fun ad. My number one is another person that we've talked about during the draft process. Somebody who kind of fell off the radar for a while and is currently in the middle of what looks like a career year for him, playing for the New York Giants, and that is Austin Johnson.
Johnson. Mm-hmm.
Yep. He's playing nose tackle for the Giants right now. Johnson's playing really well. It looks like he's going to have career highs in tackles for loss, quarterback hits, and sacks this year, and probably tackles as well. He's a guy who's only owed about $1.5 million for the rest of this season. He's a free agent next year, still relatively young, I think 27 or 28 years old. So there's still plenty of tread left on those tires. Much like DaQuan Jones, he's a guy who, if he comes in and plays well, you could sign him to a 2 or 3 year deal. And now, boom, you've got one of your defensive tackles for the future. Kind of lessens the need to feel like you have to bring back Tillery and Jones. He's an instant upgrade over Tillery and Jones. He can play that 3-4 technique. You can move him over to have him play a 0 or 1 technique next year after you move on from Linval Joseph. And he's a guy who you could probably get for a 4th or a 5th round pick this year. And he'd be an instant upgrade. He'd lengthen the rotation. He'd be an instant starter, gives you pass rush, gives you the ability to stop the run. He'd be a really nice add for the Chargers, and he'd be relatively inexpensive, both in terms of money and draft picks.
So let's kind of go over some of the guys that have kind of been mentioned that didn't make our lists and why we don't think it's realistic. I think Fletcher Cox is being mentioned a lot.
Yeah. So Cox is a guy who I looked at really hard, and he was on my list for a while, and I ended up taking him off the list for a big reason, and that is if he gets traded this year, the Eagles have to eat, the numbers vary depending on the source, but somewhere between $10 and $12 million in dead cap space this year. And then I think it was $24 million in dead cap space next year. And they also just restructured him a few weeks ago. And I don't recall the exact numbers, but I want to say, I think his contract voids after 2022. And there's like $12 or $13 million in dead cap space once it voids. So the Eagles have the cap space to move him this year. I think they've got about $20 million in cap space, so they could do it. But why would you want to eat all that money if you don't have to? My guess is they write out the contract this year, maybe try to trade him in the offseason, potentially make him a post-June 1 cut so they can limit some of that dead cap space. Mm-hmm. But I just don't think they're going to eat that money. So I don't think he's as available as people think. I think the guy next to him, Javon Hargrave, might be more available than Cox is, mm-hmm. just because Cox's contract is, I think, very prohibitive.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, no doubt that he's one of the best interior defensive line in the league, but I just don't see them trading their longtime captain and eating all that money. So also, I don't know that the Chargers make that type of move anyway. The next one is Grady Jarrett, who a lot of people are talking about. The Falcons are bad. I mean, this is obviously the number one guy if he were added to any list. But, I mean, he's owed $28 million this season, $23 next year. I mean, I don't see it happening. I also don't see it happening because Falcons are 3-3, and they are basically saying this is our last go with Matt Ryan. You know, I just don't see Atlanta giving up on the season on Matt Ryan's farewell tour and trading their star defender. So, I mean, look, there's no doubt that Jarrett's one of the best interior defensive linemen in football, but this isn't happening.
Yeah, I just don't think it's realistic from a financial standpoint for the Chargers. That's a lot of money to tie up into an interior defensive lineman, even one as good as Grady Jarrett is. At 3-3, the Falcons are in the 8th seed. They're, you know, a 2 or 3 game win streak away from sliding up into the 6th or 7th seed. So I don't think they're out of it by any means. I think they have more going for them than a team like the Bears, who I think is right behind them in the 9th seed. So I think they hang on and try to make a run. They might even try to add something to enhance their chances of making that run with Matt Ryan. And that's a lot of financial risk. I don't think the Chargers are going to be willing to take that on, even as good as Grady Jarrett is. You're probably looking at giving up a third or a second round pick and mm-hmm. spending all that money. It's just, I just don't think it's how the Chargers do business. And I don't think they're going to change the way they do business to make that kind of an upgrade. It's just not how they operate.
Yeah. And then so that if Grady Jarrett's out of the picture, Leonard Williams is way, 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 way like off the screen.
Yes.
That makes zero sense. And I don't think any team's really not smart enough to take on that $45 million chunk that he's owed. That's just, they really screwed up when they signed him with that contract. And there's no way they're going to be able to offload him unless they just outright cut him and eat the money. And they're not going to do that. So Leonard Williams, another guy, just way too big of a cap hit. Nobody could afford to take him on.
Yeah, agreed.
So let's go ahead and move on. Do you have any other defensive linemen that you wanted to talk about? Any other honorable mentions that other than those three?
Most of the guys who would make that honorable mention list for me are guys who are still on teams that are kind of in the hunt. Actually, no, take that back. There are two other guys that almost made my list that just didn't quite make it. One is DJ Jones with the 49ers.
Uh-huh.
And the other is Greg Gaines with the Rams. Both those teams have a surplus of defensive linemen, particularly in the interior. They get a lot of production out of those guys because of the schemes they run. Obviously, Gaines has experience playing in Brandon Staley's system. Mm-hmm. He isn't the athlete some of these other guys are that we've talked about. He's not a guy who's going to get to the quarterback a whole lot, but he is very effective against the run, and he's playing well this year. DJ Jones is also playing extremely well this year. He can get to the quarterback a little bit, very effective against the run. Both guys are on, I believe, in the last year of their deals with their respective teams. So you could probably get them for relatively inexpensive because they're not guys that their teams are dying to keep. They're not going to get those big contracts. They're kind of fringe, extension guys. So possibility there, you can get guys for, you know, day three picks, maybe mid to late day three pick. And both of those guys would help quite a bit.
All right. So let's, Yeah, good ones. So let's move on to other free agents the Chargers could add. Outside of just interior defensive line, there are a few holes the Chargers could fill in the trade deadline with a few players. And Jamie and I put up our top three. And I'll go ahead and start. And number three is at wide receiver. We've talked about it. The Chargers don't have a ton of depth outside of Mike Williams and Keenan Allen. Jalen Guyton isn't really working. I think Joshua Palmer will probably be upgraded here soon and get more snaps. But what I think the Chargers are missing are some real true speed. And I think there's one guy at number three for me that could be had real easy, and it is the wide receiver Andy Isabella from the Cardinals. He's a guy that's being dropped down the depth chart in Arizona. He's only been active twice this year, hasn't even played a snap. He's a former high draft pick who can play inside and out, which could be a nice fit if you wanted to rotate him and Keenan Allen if he kind of upgraded that wide receiver three role. He's crazy quick. He ran a 4.31. He's also got returner experience, so he could help on coverage teams. Could also be an option for the Chargers next season, or God forbid this season if Andre Roberts doesn't play well. But this is an easy get for a late day three pick. He's a game time decision to activate each week for the Cardinals. So this is an easy get for the Chargers, and they could get a guy like Andy Isabella, who's still got some upside, a young guy, and you know, still has some potential. So for number three, it's Andy Isabella.
That's a really good one. He's on my list too.
Oh, okay.
Should come relatively cheap. You're probably looking at a late day three pick. Very little financial cost. You're not looking at making any super hard decisions with the roster spot. Yeah. He's an upgrade over Guyton. And like you said, you know, he has that returner experience. You could kind of train him to be the punt returner and kick returner next year. And you'd have him waiting in the wings. If for some reason Roberts doesn't work out, he's a guy who can contribute at wide receiver, can contribute on special teams. Right now, I don't think they're getting a whole lot on special teams out of Guyton or Palmer. And Guyton hopefully is falling down the depth chart in terms of the receiver position right now. So that would make a lot of sense. I think that's a good one. I will throw another one out there, and I'm going to go with Brandon Cooks,
the wide receiver for the
Houston Texans.
Big swing. Okay.
That's a big swing. I think you could probably get him actually pretty cheap because he's been bouncing around quite a bit. I don't know if there's attitude issues or what, but he's a guy who, when he's in the lineup, he's super productive. He makes big plays. He would instantly take the top off of defense. He would transform how teams have to defend the Chargers. He is a true deep threat. Mm-hmm. He's not just a straight line speed guy who they're throwing the ball deep to like Jalen Guyton. He is a true home run threat who actually catches the ball, and he runs a full route tree. And you could probably give him the ball on those jet sweeps, and he'd be really effective on that too. So that would be a guy who I think, you know, that would, like I said, it transforms the way the offense runs and transforms the way the defense would have to, opposing defenses would have to game plan for them.
Yeah.
So that would be a big one for me.
So he's been traded for firsts in past years, for a second, I believe, recently. Where are you landing on Brandon Cooks?
I'm thinking maybe a fourth, maybe a conditional fourth. The Texans stink. Their front office is dumb as shit.
Oh my God. them and the Washington football team are on a stupid race.
And they just seem like they're, I don't know, they're just kind of aimlessly wandering about. They don't have a plan. Yeah. So it seems like if they could get anything for Cooks, they'd probably be happy to unload his contract. And they need draft picks. They need talent. So I think that would make some sense for both teams.
They need a ton of talent everywhere. So yeah, it would make a ton of sense. He was kind of an honorable mention for me. I totally understand it. And it would totally transform this offense. I just felt like the price might be a little hot. I don't know if the Texans would want to move you up on that fourth, but a fourth for Brandon Cooks I would do all day.
Yep.
Absolutely. Number two for me is a right tackle. Chargers need some help at right tackle. Storm Norton isn't cutting it. Brian Bulaga could return this season, but they need help over there. And for me, an easy guy to make a trade for is Ty Nishecki, who is with the Cowboys right now. He is the third right tackle on their depth chart. He would currently be the Chargers' number one right tackle in my mind. Terrence Steele is playing really good at right tackle. They got Lyle Collins right behind him. So he only signed a one-year deal with Dallas. So basically, the Cowboys are getting something for nothing as a, you know, a third right tackle on your depth chart. And then the Chargers would get a right tackle to play right away until and if Brian Bulaga returns. And then you can kind of figure out the situation. If Nishaki's playing good enough, you can keep him or bring in Bulaga, whatever that deal is. Once he comes back, we'll see. But a guy that would definitely upgrade that offensive line. They would only need to give up a late day three pick because, again, a guy that's a third right tackle on your depth chart who's 2 years removed from being a starter in the NFL, not a long-term option, but for 2021, an option for the rest of the season, I think would upgrade that right side of the offensive line. So I've got Ty Nishaki as my number two on my list.
So my number two, and this is going to surprise some people, it's Mike Remmers, the right tackle for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Okay.
The Chiefs are 3-4. I think they're right now in the 10 or 11 seed in the AFC. And of course, they have an opportunity to make a run, but Remmers is on a one-year deal. He's not making a ton of money, and they already have his replacement in Lucas Niang. So Remmers is a guy that I think you could probably get and convince the Chiefs to go ahead and put Lucas Niang in there full time. Maybe you sweeten the spot and throw in Trey Pipkins and give him an extra tackle. Maybe they haven't seen him play enough. But, you know, maybe throw him a fifth or sixth round pick because Remmers has been around for a long time. He's not a guy who's going to stick long term with the Chargers or the Chiefs. So you shouldn't have to give up too much. There isn't a whole lot of financial risk involved. He's a plug and play right tackle who would be, you know, probably league average, which is a considerable upgrade over Storm Norton. So I think that would make a lot of sense.
Okay. I'm going to let you, I went with number one first. I'll let you go number one here. Who is your number one?
My number one is another Kansas City Chief, somebody who isn't playing right now. He's their backup right guard, but he's been a, I believe he's been a Pro Bowl right guard in the past. Dr. Laurent Duvernay-Tardif. He signed a huge contract like 2 or 3 years ago with the Chiefs. He was one of the hotter guards in the league. Had some injuries. I think he didn't play last year. Didn't play much last year because he was assisting the front on the front lines with COVID. Mm-hmm. But he's a guy who can come in. You can plug him in. You have really a couple choices. You can put him at right guard, which is where he played for the Chiefs, and get Schofield out of the lineup. Or you can get creative. You can plug him in at left guard, so you still have some experience next to Rashawn Slater, and you can kick Filer out to right guard, and you're really getting a two-for-one improvement there. His contract is up after this year, so he's a free agent in 2022. Duvernay-Tardif is only owed about $2.5 million for the rest of this year. I think he's a guy who you could probably have for like a fifth-round pick just because he's not playing. He's a backup. His contract is about to run out. Maybe they're motivated to get something for nothing there, but they've already got his long-term replacement with what's that kid's name?
Trey Smith.
Yep. And he's an instant upgrade for the Chargers, regardless of whether he's a backup for the Chiefs or not. So yeah. I think that would be like, if you're talking about fixing the offensive line and you're trying to figure out a way to move Matt Filer from left guard to right tackle in season, which I think the Chargers are hesitant to do just because they don't want to make two changes at once. This would be a way that you could do that and probably alleviate some of those concerns about changing two spots on the offensive line, because you're bringing in a guy who's played at a high level on a championship caliber team, and it's plug and play.
Yeah. Yeah. Makes a ton of sense. And they need help at right guard. So my number one, I really, really, really wanted to put Allen Robinson here just because it would be so much fun, but you know, he costs a lot of money. He's going to be in a free agent next season. And you sign Allen Robinson, you're going to have to re-sign him in the offseason if you're trading picks for him, which is going to be a high pick. So I didn't put Allen Robinson here. He's, I guess, could be a honorable mention, but man, would that be fun. But for me, my number one is a wide receiver, and it's going in the same thought process with Andy Isabella, and it's Denzel Mims, the Jets wide receiver. Now, they've gone back and forth whether they've wanted to trade Mims or not. He's got 5 total catches in 4 games. He's got 0 starts this season. And Zach Wilson just went down with an injury. Robert Saleh doesn't have any times of Denzel Mims with the previous staff that drafted him. Not to mention Saleh just drafted Elijah Moore in the top of 2. I think it was the second pick of the second round for getting Elijah Moore. So Mims is getting kicked down that depth chart. He was a real good prospect coming out of college. He's a burner the Chargers could use. He ran a 4.38, and he's on a rookie deal. I mean, at this point, the Jets could just settle for a pick for a guy that they are going to probably end up cutting in a few years or two, because they're just not using him, and he's just moving slowly down that depth chart, just like Isabella. So if anyone can screw up a player, it's the New York Jets. So I think it's too soon to write off a guy like Denzel Mims. I think he's worth a shot as a wide receiver depth and a speed guy for the Chargers. This offense obviously needs it and would provide some wide receiver depth behind Keenan Allen and Mike Williams. So Denzel Mims is my number one.
Interesting.
I think it'd be fun. You got any other honorable mentions? We mentioned, Cooks almost made my list. Allen Robinson almost made my list.
I have a few, okay. And they're mostly positions we haven't talked about, but one, we talked about receivers. So I'll throw this one in there again from the Kansas City Chiefs. Mecole Hardman, the wide receiver. And I went that route because he has the speed. They currently use him as a gadget player. He's a guy who's shown the ability to stretch the field, so teams would have to honor him as a deep threat. He's not at the level of Cooks as a deep threat at this point in his career, but because of his speed, because of his explosiveness, he would change the way that teams have to defend the Chargers. So, and again, he's young. They just added Josh Gordon. They just paid Tyreek Hill. They've got a ton of young, fast wide receivers. He's a guy who I feel like, I think he's like their fourth or fifth wide receiver on the depth chart right now. So he's a guy who I think you could probably get for maybe a fourth or fifth round pick and add some serious speed. And he's another guy with return experience. So maybe you could split time with him and Roberts, keep Roberts fresh, set up some gadget returns with both of them on the field at the same time, kind of opens up some options there. I think he'd be a fun one. Another one
from the Chiefs.
Not from the Chiefs.
Okay. There are other teams. You know that.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I'm aware. another one that I like that I think would help quite a bit is, and I forget which team he's on. I don't think I listed it. But Christian Kirksey, the middle linebacker. Okay. He was with Green Bay last year. I can't remember who he's playing for this year. One of the really bad teams. I think he's with the Texans, if I'm not mistaken. But he's a guy who has been very effective against the run. He's really, really good in coverage. Not a guy so much who's going to get to the quarterback, but he would help give them some more options in the middle of the defense, give them another rotational piece in the middle of the defense, somebody who could maybe take some pressure off of Tranquil and White at times as needed, and maybe help facilitate that move to for Kenneth Murray to the edge. Because they wouldn't need him in the middle, and it would not force them to have to play guys like Neiman and Ogbonmamiga. Anyway, it would give them more depth at linebacker. And he's not making a whole lot of money. He's on a one-year deal as Kirksey. I think he'd be a really nice veteran piece in the middle of that defense, kind of another captain in the middle of the defense, and would help with the run defense and help in coverage as well.
And you were right. It is the Texans. Is what Kirksey's playing for now. Some other honorable mentions. Joe Haig, the right tackle, who's now playing for the Steelers. He's now the right tackle 2, got pushed down at 3 early on this season, was a former starter, could come in and help the Chargers on the right side of the line. I think that would be an easy one to get late. Obviously, a depth piece for the Steelers, who aren't playing good at all, and not one of their starters. So a guy that could be had. I thought Juwan Taylor probably could be had, the Jacksonville right tackle. They're bad team, and a guy they've been wishy-washy since they've drafted him. So a guy that could help right away, probably not a long-term option, but a guy that could help out at right tackle. And I met Cooks, Allen Robinson, and then, I mean, maybe a guy like Adam Humphries, who's kind of a quick twitch wide receiver, plays for the Redskins, who aren't very good. He recently signed a contract, but a guy that they didn't really get a ton of targets to, hasn't been really a big part of their offense, but maybe an option there too. But yeah, I think there's a couple guys you could have outside of these defensive linemen who we talked about might take some higher draft picks, but there's some lists that we both talked about that are like late day 3 picks that could instantly help this team.
Yeah, and I've got one more too.
Oh, okay.
An edge player, and it's Emmanuel Ogba from the Dolphins. He had 9 sacks last year. I think he's already got 4 or 5 this year. Not a long-term guy that you're going to put a ton of money into, but he would definitely force teams to respect him more than they're probably respecting Fackrell and Nwosu right now. And he would take some pressure off of Bosa, maybe force teams to not throw two and three guys in Bosa's direction, especially if you're able to add a defensive tackle. So I think Ogba is a guy who could be a good add, probably wouldn't be too expensive because he's another guy who's a free agent after this year and isn't making a whole lot of money.
Great. Okay. This was fun. These are some fun options.
It was.
All right. So make sure to join us. We'll be doing our after hours after the game this Sunday against the New England Patriots. Thanks for tuning in, guys. Appreciate everybody. I am at Garrett Sisti on Twitter. Jamie?
@lightning_round.
We will see you next time.
Thanks, everybody.